The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
I continue to think that our voting machines are too vulnerable.
Our researchers have repeatedly demonstrated that ballot recording machines and other voting systems are susceptible to tampering.
Even hackers with limited prior knowledge, tools, and resources are able to breach voting machines in a matter of minutes.
In 2018, electronic voting machines in Georgia and Texas deleted votes for certain candidates or switched votes from one candidate to another.
The biggest seller of voting machines is doing something that violates Cybersecurity 101, directing that you install remote access software, which would make a machine like that, you know, a magnet for fraudsters and hackers.
These voting machines can be hacked quite easily.
You could easily hack into them. It makes it seem like all these states are doing different things, but in fact, three companies are controlling this.
It is the individual voting machines that pose some of the greatest risk.
There are a lot of states that are dealing with antiquated machines, right, which are vulnerable to being hacked.
Workers were able to easily hack into an electronic voting machine. It was possible to switch votes.
43% of American voters use voting machines that researchers have found have serious security flaws, including back doors.
We know how vulnerable now our systems were. I know that hackathon that took place last year, where virtually every machine was broken into fairly quickly.
I actually held a demonstration for my colleagues here at the Capitol, where we brought in folks who, before our eyes, hacked election machines, those that are being used in many states.
Aging systems also frequently rely on unsupported software, like Windows XP in 2000, which may not receive regular security patches and are thus more vulnerable to the latest methods of cyber attack.
In a close presidential election, they just need to hack one swing state, or maybe one or two, or maybe just a few counties in one swing state.
Maybe just a few counties to turn the tide of the election. Those are all Democrats. And not that long ago, 2018, two, 3 years ago, when they're in the opposition party, when it's on the Democrat talking points list, they're out there, they're all echoing the same concerns. And then the media, the propagandists in the media, they believe that the machines are vulnerable. They believe that there's hackers in Russia or wherever helping those dirty Republicans. But now, of course, now the machines are perfect. You know, everything you just heard in that montage, everything you heard there, that's essentially what Mike Lindell and, of course, some others are saying right now at this moment. Mike Lindell, he's got a hearing. He's putting together a hearing to reveal evidence of how the machines were hacked. That's coming up in a couple of weeks, I believe. And he's struggling to get the media to even take interest in what he's going to produce. And of course, he's portrayed, if he's not ignored entirely, he's portrayed as a quack, as a crazy man, as a conspiracy theorist. The war continues. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We're certainly happy for you to make time for this program here at the start of another work week. We're at Monday. We're rapidly working our way through the month of July. And we've got another exciting program to bring to your attention today. Most people come along and watch it later. Our podcast, we post those at the trumpet.com website. You can get to the live stream, of course, every day at this time, 11 a.m. in Oklahoma, 9 a.m. out west, noon on the East Coast. We also have CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform that carries the live broadcast as well as a replay later on in the day. So we're certainly grateful for the additional homes that we reach here in the United States because of CRN. Coming up on today's show, we'll have another summer educational program themed segment, Bible study segment, that'll be in the second segment on today's show. So stay tuned for that. Well, the push to audit not just the swing states. You know about Arizona, you know about Georgia, you know about Pennsylvania, but really there's a push to audit even all of the states right across the union because of people that see all of these statistical anomalies, not just in those key swing counties, as you heard Ted Lieu say there at the end of that montage, but statistical anomalies really in multiple counties in Pennsylvania, in Florida. I mentioned last week the push even to get an audit here in Oklahoma, a state that went 70-30 for Donald Trump. And it's because of the funny business going on with the machines, with the algorithms, and what they've already discovered, of course, in Arizona. Those systems, the machines, the software, it was breached. It was tampered with. We know this. That's just one state, Arizona. And what did we learn last week from the hearing? Well, only if you're watching programs like this. There aren't that many of them that even care. You even had commentators on Fox News just brushing aside the hearing from Arizona, the preliminary hearing. Maybe it's a few hundred votes here and there, but certainly nothing substantial enough. The fraud wasn't substantial enough to actually turn the results or overturn the results of the election. Yes, that's what they were saying, even at Fox, so many of them. Keep in mind that Donald Trump supposedly lost Arizona to Joe Biden by 10,457 votes. That amounts to 0.3% of the state's certified count. Just 10,000 votes. And as I explained on Friday, you heard it in the hearing on Thursday last week, 74,000 mail-in ballots that went out. There's no record of them going out, being requested, in other words, and yet 74,000 show up. Yes, and then all the other things, the photocopied ballots, the story from over the weekend, how that on election day they wanted the Sharpie pen instead of the ballpoint pen so that those election officials could fill out as many photocopied ballots as possible. And yet people still wanting to say it was maybe just a tiny, an itsy-bitsy, tiny, tiny amount of fraud, but certainly not enough to change the results. Evidence keeps pouring in. This was from Donald Trump on Friday. He said AP and other media outlets are doing major disinformation to try and discredit the massive number of voter irregularities and fraud found in both Arizona and Georgia. They're trying to cover this up. And look at the montage I played for you at the top of the show. You see how that they changed their tune. It's just opposite, entirely the opposite of what they were saying 2 seconds ago. And the propaganda media there, of course, to help promote the Democrat talking points. Whether it's you can't trust the machines in 2018 or the machines are perfect in 2020. Whatever it is, wouldn't you love to have politicians who have a consistency in their message? Wouldn't you love it if they just told you the truth? If they just said, hey, we just want to examine the evidence. We just want everybody to feel good about the results. We want to make sure there was no fraud, whether we support the candidate who won or don't. You're not going to get that. Not at all. Donald Trump said, when the real numbers are released, people will be shocked. But this is a concerted effort of the fake news media to discredit and demean. He says there's never been anything like it. Numbers will be released shortly, and they are extraordinarily big and highly determinative. In other words, he won in a landslide. And a lot of people who've turned a blind eye to the cheating, they know it. They know that he won in a landslide. They know why five states mysteriously shut down at the same time on election night. They know about the ballots that were carted in 3, 4 a.m. in the morning. They know it was rigged. He said the numbers are big and highly determinative. And so who talks about the president's statement from Friday? No one, of course. Maybe just the news and a few other outlets. This is from the Federalist. You know about the illegal votes. All these people that moved to different counties and then voted in the state of Georgia. There was a big revelation on that just last week from the Federalist, and this was a follow-up to that. It says, during a detailed discussion with the Federalist on Wednesday, that would be last week, representatives from Georgia's Secretary of State's office provided their perspective on new evidence suggesting more than 10,300 Georgian voters illegally cast ballots in the November 2020 general election. So thousands and thousands of illegal votes. And, of course, the Secretary of State's office telling us at first that it was perfect and now trying to come out strong against voter fraud. And we've got to get rid of election officials that can't be trusted in Fulton County. It says here, shortly after the November 2020 election, Mark Davis, the president of Data Productions and an expert in voter data analytics and residency issues, determined from the National Change of Address records that nearly 35,000 Georgian voters who indicated they had moved from one Georgia county to another voted in the 2020 general election in the county from which they had moved. This is just one of many problems. And again, in a state where Biden supposedly won by 13,000 votes, when the numbers are revealed, just like President Trump said on Friday, it's going to shock people. It says here, so yes, we need to revisit the Georgia election to show the problem with illegal votes. We need to revisit this. Should have been done back in January. But the media, they were there. They were there with their false narrative that this was an insurrection brought on by President Trump's call for audits, to an examination of the vote. They were there with their narrative, the so-called insurrection. Notice this. This was Glenn Greenwald. Today, Paul Hodgkins will be the first January 6th defendant sentenced on a felony guilty plea. He engaged in no violence. His crime, he entered the Capitol wearing a Trump t-shirt, held a Trump flag, took a selfie with Q Shaman. Prosecutors want 18 months in prison. This is the first one of 500 that have been arrested, right? Most of them misdemeanors, just trespassing. This one, they got a felony, finally. And what did he do? Well, he was in there with a Trump shirt. He took a selfie. He was inside the Capitol for maybe 10 minutes. No violence, nothing. And the prosecutors, they want to get him for 18 months. Wouldn't you love it if you saw some prosecutors representing the federal government that had some consistency? Where were those prosecutions last year? Where were they last summer? Where were they in Minneapolis and D.C.? And Portland and Seattle. 18 months. They want to get him in prison for 18 months. Made the mistake of following the protesters into the Capitol, perhaps through an open door, opened up by law enforcement, who knows. Took a selfie, and now he's on his way to prison. There they were, the propaganda media. There they were, trying to tell you, well, this was the most dangerous thing since Pearl Harbor, the Civil War even. They didn't want anything to be audited. They didn't want anything to be examined. And most Republicans, to their shame, just caved into the pressure, including Mike Pence. He had the authority to just give states a couple more weeks. The inauguration was still 2 weeks off. He had the authority to tell the states, and some states wanted it. They wanted the time to actually examine The ballots, the machines. Something that Democrats were calling for back in 2018, obviously. I played the montage there for you. But these cowards, you see, they surrendered to the mob. The mob was not the protesters that streamed through the Capitol. The mob, that was the media and the Democrats who were screaming that police officers were being bludgeoned to death. People were being shot and murdered on January the 6th. All of these weapons, these dangerous Trump supporters. The real mob, as I say, that was in the major media, the legacy media. And they continue with lies. We need to revisit this. Should have been done back in January. Should have been done in November. And now states are finally getting around to it. And not just the swing states. A lot of states want to get in on the action as they see what Arizona has done and what Arizona has uncovered. Never mind what Fox News commentators say. That, oh, there's nothing to see here. If this is the big reveal, well, what a big nothing burger. Let's wait and see. We'll have to wait a little bit longer. It's easy to get impatient. But the truth is being revealed. It says here, Donald Trump shouldn't it? Well, this is that Federalist piece. It says, at this point, however, what matters is that the truth is exposed and that Republicans come together to ensure the integrity of future elections and expose the Democrats' attempts to disenfranchise legal voters with illegal and fraudulent votes. That's where the disenfranchisement is happening. They're canceling out actual legal votes by these large stacks of photocopied ballots, duplicated ballots, ballots representing dead people, ballots representing people that moved out of county or out of state. Tens of thousands of them in Arizona, tens of thousands of them in Georgia, hundreds of thousands of them in Pennsylvania. That's where some of the worst statistical anomalies are, the ones exposing that Donald Trump won the state, Pennsylvania, in a landslide. Even with the polling going in, you get, and notice in all of these kinds of stories, it's never tilted in favor of Donald Trump or conservatives. This says here, this story, there was a systematic error that was found in terms of the overstatement for Democratic support across the board. This is a story. 2020 presidential poll suffered the worst performance in decades, according to a recent report. Coming in, there was an overstatement of Democratic support for Joe Biden and others. As I say, it never works in the other direction. It says, it didn't matter what type of poll you were doing, whether you're interviewing by phone or internet or whatever. And it didn't matter what type of race, whether President Trump was on the ballot or was not on the ballot. They all favored the Democrats. Even the polling. The polling. And then you think back to the crazy campaign, or lack thereof, for Joe Biden. Just hiding away in his basement. Hiding in a basement. And somehow securing the most votes in presidential history, in an election of the United States, a presidential election, the most ever. Supposedly 6 million more than even Donald Trump. You can see why they don't want a thorough examination of all of the ballots. They just want control. They, like my father has said, he writes about it in America Under Attack, great again. We've had some Trumpet articles since the sham election from last year. They're demonstrating what they're willing to do to return to power, to maintain their hold, their grip, their stranglehold on power. And then they get into power and you see how that they operate. You see how I didn't have time to play the clips for you last week. Jen Psaki and Joe Biden, as they talked about how that Facebook or social media, they're killing people because they're allowing things to go out regarding the vaccine or whatever. So more people need to be censored. That's the thinking of these communists that currently have quite a stranglehold on power. They're not popular, but they're controlling the levers of government right now. And listen to what they say when they talk about what we need to do with social media over here or what should be done with Fox News over here. Fox News! Who wanted Donald Trump out? And these radicals, they're so extreme. They're so radical. This is Jen Psaki, the propagandist minister representing Joe Biden, and what she said last week about the controls that there needs to be in social media circles. Clip 8.
In terms of actions, Alex, that we have taken or we're working to take, I should say, from the federal government, we've increased disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. We're working with doctors and medical professionals to connected medical experts who are popular with their audiences with accurate information and boost trusted content. So we're helping get trusted content out there. We also created the COVID community core to get factual information into the hands of local messengers.
Notice how she speaks of Facebook and these social media sites as if it's just an obvious extension of the Biden administration. Yeah, we're flagging problematic posts for Facebook. We're doing this for Facebook. We're contacting Facebook. Hey, you better take that down. That's a problematic post. We're here working together, and they work together hand in hand with the propagandists in the media as well. They're all the same. The Uniparty and a lot of Republicans, they're right in there with them. And if they're not, they're caving, they're cowering beneath the pressure. They won't stand up against it. They won't stand up against it. This is Jonathan Turley regarding Jen Psaki and what Biden himself said last week about censoring voices. It says here, the concern is obvious that this allows for a direct role of the government in a massive censorship program run by private companies. And it's been going on for months. They blotted out the story on Hunter's laptop, then apologized after the presidential election was already over. Then they come out and say, well, we maybe shouldn't have done that. Even as they continue on censoring other stories, other outlets. And again, always it's the conservative voices blotted out. Of course, the spirit behind it, like my father has written, is to blot out even the name of Israel, even the name of America. To blot out all of the founding institutions, the documents, the founding fathers, the history, the statues, the monuments. It won't stop. They're never satisfied. The mob, they just want to destroy. They just want to upend the system and start over with their communist utopian vision. It says here, even when Twitter expressed regret for censoring the Hunter Biden laptop story before the election, there was an immediate pushback for greater censorship from Democrats. No, no, no. Don't apologize, said the Democrats. You need to censor more content. It says the back channel coordination with Facebook further supports the view that this is a de facto state-supporting censorship program. This is the basis for the recent lawsuit by former President Donald Trump. So he filed his suit, his class action suit, last week or week before. He's one of the only ones who will stand up to this, who will stand up to the mob. Josh Hawley, he's the senator from Missouri. Over the weekend, he talked about just how scary it is to have the federal government in there controlling who can say what and where and whether or not they should be deleted from the platform. And you heard, as I say, you heard Psaki just so confidently say, yeah, we're working with Facebook. We're flagging problematic posts, and we're telling Facebook, you better take it down. This in the United States of America. Listen to Joe Biden for his part. This is him last week saying that, hey, if bad information, if misinformation, he knows, you see, what's misinformation and what isn't. If it goes out, it could be deadly. This is clip 2.
What's your message to platforms like Facebook? they're killing people. I mean, it really, look, the only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated. And that, and they're killing people.
Facebook's killing people because they're not censoring people. They're not censoring voices fast enough. This is their take on Facebook, of all things. Facebook's killing people. And you heard the propagandist in the media there. Hey, what do you think about Facebook? What do you have to say about Facebook? They're not censoring enough voices. So what do you have to say about it? They're all cut from the same cloth. And then over the weekend, they take it a step further. Here's CNN on whether or not Fox News is killing people. Fox News, that's right. They're killing people. This is clip three.
President Biden did accuse social media platforms of killing people. Do you think conservative media like Fox News are doing the same? Are they killing people too with rhetoric like you just heard?
Rhetoric, it's killing people, says Dana Bash. A nice little softball set up for the Biden rep to knock it right out of the park. Here's Dr. Fauci on CNN with one of the comments. I think this is Jim Acosta. Listen to these two, clip four.
Disinformation and misinformation is really, really a problem. When we go out into the community and ask people why they don't want to get vaccinated, very often they come back with things that are really just not true.
The most watched television show on Fox News right now is outright hostile to the vaccine. In this environment, do you think we could have eradicated polio or defeated the measles if you had Fox News night after night warning people about these vaccine issues that are just, bunk?
That's Jim Acosta, of course, together with Dr. Fauci. All of the disinformation. Well, we never would have gotten rid of polio or the measles had Fox News been around back then. The anti-vaxxers. Now, keep in mind that when they're the opposition party, the message, the talking points, a lot of times they're very different. In some cases, exactly the opposite. Now, when Donald Trump was living at 1600 Pennsylvania Street, when he was occupying the White House, listen to these liars, basically. Listen to them and how hesitant they were about the vaccine. That would be Donald Trump's vaccine. This is clip five.
So let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay. And the question of whether it's real when it's there, that requires enormous transparency. You got to make all of it available to other experts across the nation so they can look and see. So there's consensus. This is a safe vaccine. If the president announced tomorrow we have a vaccine, would you take it? Only if it was completely transparent that other experts in the country could look at it. Only if we knew all of what went into it.
If Donald Trump can't give answers and his administration can't give answers to these three questions, the American people should not have confidence.
But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
No, of course not. I'm not going to take that vaccine. And then the media there just nodding along, nodding along. Dana Bash was at the beginning of that montage. And you could even hear the tone of her question. Well, it is Trump's vaccine. Are you gonna be able to take it? And then all through last year. We've gotta wait. We've gotta make sure that it's tested. And then you have Kamala Harris for her part saying, if Donald Trump says take it, I'm not gonna take it. Well, Donald Trump says take it. Even to this day, he says take it. And now there they are, saying that if you say anything that would suggest waiting to make sure this is tested before you take it, then you're guilty of killing people. You're murdering people. Fox News, Facebook, whatever it might could be. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if you knew a leader, a politician heading off to Washington, D.C., wouldn't it be nice to just hear them to come out with a consistent message? Whether it's last year compared to this year, The same message. You're not going to get that, though, with leaders today. I went through Matthew 20 with the students and the campers here at this campout, this summer educational program, where Jesus is talking about just how different leaders are in God's family as compared to the leaders you see in the world today who just lord it over the subjects, pursuing after their own selfish, politicized interest. And Christ said to his disciples, now with you, it shouldn't be that way. A true Christian leader is a servant, first and foremost. He's there to serve the people. Of course, God gives that leader certain authority to administer God's family government. But he's there above all to be a servant leader, to actually serve the people. How can you, I think it was Sam who said it a week or two ago on this program, how can you trust anything that they say? They just get on there. You might have seen the clip. I thought about bringing it. Brian Stelter, he's on with that left-wing author who's criticizing Stelter for just being so full of vanity and sanctimony. And I think Stelter was quite embarrassed by the exchange. But here are, as one blog put it, here are two gnats, basically, arguing over their whether or not the other is more important than the other. All that we hear coming from these propagandists, it's completely politicized, top to bottom. It all depends on, well, who's in charge? What did Donald Trump say? If he said it, it's the opposite. If he says this, then it's the other thing. This world needs new leadership. It needs righteous leadership. It needs the kingship, the coming millennial rule of Jesus Christ. It needs the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." We if we're not sold on God's truth in looking at a world filled with lies and deception and phoniness, well, then something's wrong with us. We're probably sliding along in the way of this world. Make a stand for God's truth and be willing. I gave a lecture over the weekend on how important it is for us to not only have the truth, but to fight for it, to defend it, to stand up for it. It's a rarity these days with so many just consuming lies on a daily basis. When we come back, we'll, as I say, shift gears a little bit and concentrate on the young people and the importance of young people to learn first and foremost as a part of their royal education, the ability with God's help to rule their own spirit. Well, you're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
The Wall Street Journal had a report recently, one of many coming from even major media sources, about skyrocketing crime and violence in America's cities. This with respect to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, the District of Columbia. It says here, through the weekend in the District of Columbia, 455 assaults involving guns had been reported, compared with 422 through mid-July 2020. So it's increasing even over last year, as bad as that was. Gun violence. Violence involving guns. Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, where there's probably some of the strictest gun control laws in the United States. And yet it's going the way of Chicago and New York City and Los Angeles and Portland. Says here, on Friday evening, six-year-old Naya Courtney was killed in a shooting that wounded five others. So a mass shooting in D.C. A six-year-old, a little six-year-old girl, one of the people killed. Two women and three men shot, it says, in the southeast part of Washington, D.C. A day after the shooting of Naya, and about 3 miles north of where she was killed, the Washington Nationals baseball team evacuated their stadium late in their game Saturday night after a shooting happened just outside the ballpark. You may have seen some reports from this, that a lot of people in the stands thought there was a shooting, or rather an active shooter, in the stadium. So they were spilling into the dugouts and everywhere else, ducking down beneath chairs and such. That happening right in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., just down the road from the White House, just down the road from the Capitol. At least they got those trespassers, some 500 of them, that made the mistake of walking into the Capitol on January the 6th. The first reported felony, well, he could be in prison for 18 months. We got him off the streets. And meanwhile, it's like the Wild West in American cities. And little girls, six-year-old girls, getting caught in the crossfire. This world needs it, not just new government and new leaders. It needs everything new. It needs a godly civilization and society. It needs God's nature. It needs God's heart. It needs the law of God. It needs the family government that Jesus Christ is about to bring to this earth. You see all of that right here in Edmond at our summer educational program, where teenagers from all over the world, we have over 100 of them here, and they're immersed into camp activities for 3 solid weeks. We've got our fellows down at a campsite 2.5 hours south of here. And the girls will be heading out tomorrow morning, an outdoors camp, camping and hiking and biking and everything else that you do when you're out camping. And then all the other activities right here on campus, inside the gymnasium, out at the soccer fields and so on. We had a rugby match last night, the girls' all-star game. Beautiful, beautiful, balmy evening here in Edmond. Yet another glorious day with mild temperatures, a little bit of rain sprinkled in through the night. Herbert Armstrong writing back in 1967 about the youth program, the summer educational program. He said, "These kids are kept so busy in work they enjoy and study they find absorbing and exciting. In recreation, swimming, canoeing, power boating, water skiing, and games and fun." He said, "There's no time for mischief, moral or otherwise. They're kept busy right up to bedtime. And then they're so tired, they're glad to get right to sleep." I had a teenage girl tell me over the weekend how excited she was to go to bed at, I think it was 9:15 last week during the camp, just because she was so tired and she was happy to go to bed early. It's just like Mr. Armstrong describes here. It says here, "And why were these young people at this camp happy? there was a reason, because they had been under authority. This camp was well organized. Here was a chain of authority. The mature officials in charge of this camp had opened their minds to be willing to be taught out of the instruction book, God's book. That's what we turn to. God's instruction manual. I need to get into some of this content I went through with the girls yesterday. And just how the teenage girls are being targeted by these deranged therapists working in education or in medicine or wherever, thinking that the solution to some of the problems that a 13 or a 14-year-old girl goes through, the solution, it must be that, well, you're not a girl, you're a boy, so let's get you on testosterone. Let's consider some transitional surgery. Let's try to keep your parents out of the mix too, by the way. I mean, just frightening stuff. It's happening in the UK. It's happening in the United States. And the simplicity of God's word. In the very first chapter, after all, when God said he made them male and female, both made in the image and the likeness of God, Genesis 1:26. But then read on. It says God made them male and he made them female. And then he gets to the end of the chapter and he says, I see everything I've created and it's very good. It's very good. I like what I've made here. And yet these gender ideologies that are out there, they're there filling the minds of young people with lies, trying to convince them that, you know what, you shouldn't like. You shouldn't look at a young female body and say that it's very good. It's actually very bad and something that you might want to consider transitioning in another direction, another gender. I mean, there's not even two. There's, what, 90, 100? That comes straight out of the mind of the devil. God tells us what we need to know about why. Why men? Why women? Both fearfully and wonderfully made, like the psalm says. Then he ordains the institution of marriage at the start of Genesis. And he teaches you why family all throughout the Bible. And Satan wants to destroy that. He hates the family. He hates the traditional family. He hates marriage. He hates the God-ordained roles in marriage. He hates male and female. Satan, of course, is sexless, so it's his perverted and deranged thinking that's there guiding the therapists, the activists, the educators, the radical activist extremists. They're the ones in control of the major institutions in the United States and the UK. I mean, look around. You have maybe ordinary citizens in the heartland saying, what is going on in schools? What is happening at universities? But look at those institutions of higher learning and look at who has control. Look at what led to the pandemic. Came out of a lab, man-made. And then the idea behind the lockdown. Perhaps Katie Hopkins says it's the greatest hoax in the history of human civilization. She's down in Australia. She's basically sounding the alarm about how bizarre and oppressive this is. Three cases? And so you're going to lock everyone down again? But the Australian government, they can't stand for any kind of dissent, so they've got to boot her out of the country. You don't dare criticize the authorities. The authority, it doesn't matter if they had some cautionary words on the vaccine last year because the bad orange man was in the White House. If they say you have to take it, you have to take it. You've even got state governments now in these blue states that, well, it's the same ideology that's basically saying, let's keep the parental influence out of the school. As soon as the child shows up at the front door of the school, that's where the parental influence over them ends. And then we take over. The guidance counselors, the therapists, the educators, the experts. They know. They know who needs the jab. They know who doesn't. They know if you should have transgender surgery or if you should transition to another gender. We need the instruction manual that is the Holy Bible, because this is a world that is just off the rails. It's a world living in darkness. It's a world whose God is Satan the devil. It's a world that's deceived. I could give you all the chapters and verses. Hopefully you know them. But how different it is at God's youth camp. They have godly authority. They have an instruction book, a guidebook. It says, Mr. Armstrong says, they had in their turn first submitted their wills to God, allowing their minds to be teachable, to let their Maker teach them His ways, His laws. And these were the ways that regulated these young people at camp. Result? They enjoyed that camp. They were happy. They had fun. The kind that didn't boomerang. We talk a lot at this camp, or at least we have at this particular session. We talk a lot about being happy and joyous and how that happens. There are laws, after all, governing our actions, our behavior. And if we obey them, we're happy. We're filled with joy. We're blessed. We've taught, well, I gave you the instruction on last week's, one of the programs last week, about just developing the personality of a king, of royalty. The campers heard a lecture this morning from Brad McDonald about just some of the finer points of common courtesy, of living a royal lifestyle, aiming for high standards at the dining table, out on the ball field, in conversation, in fellowship. Notice Proverbs 25 and verse 28, it says, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Well, look at what's happening in places like Washington, D.C. All these deranged lunatics. I mean, they're not just trespassing into a library for 10 minutes and taking a selfie. They're roaming the streets, gunning people down, shooting six-year-old girls. No rule over their own spirit. And it's like a city with no walls, no protection. Everything just breaks down. Moffat says, a man with no control over himself is like a town with broken walls. It's like a city without protection. There's lots of cities like this today. And God says, that's what it's like for the individual. If they have no control over their human spirit, if they have no self-discipline, no temperance, if they have no drive to drive themselves in the right direction, that's one of the seven laws of success. We can't just drift. We can't just float. We can't just go with the way of this world. God says, come out of this world. Be separate from them, and I will receive you. I'll receive you into my family. We certainly need God's family. We need God's protection. We pray for it every day, especially when camp is in session. These young people need physical protection. They need mental and spiritual protection too, because Satan sees them as a massive target, and he loves taking out young people. He loves getting young people just immersed into the ways of this world. I saw a podcast recently, this woman who wrote a book. I think she works for the Wall Street Journal. She wrote a book about the transgender movement and how it's targeting young teenage girls in particular. And so she was asked, so what can we do as parents? I mean, how can we combat this? For one, she says that the educational institutions in the United States, that they are irredeemably beyond repair. I don't think they're able to be fixed. So what can we do? And she's pleading, basically, with the audience, saying, get your children off of social media. And then she talked about some of the other things that have happened just in the last year. Well, we've got to cure ourselves of the pandemic. So what should we do? Lock up. Lock down. And then, I guess, presumably give your teenagers all the gadgets that they want so that they can retire into their rooms. And just immerse themselves into social media circles for hours and hours a day. You've seen the stories about all the drug overdoses from last year. The cure is worse than the disease. You have these young people coming back to these perverse transgender movements. She says, just cut it off. Cut it off. Give your young people, your children, a flip phone. Well, God's church has been emphasizing that for years now. And you can see the wisdom in that. We've got to teach our young people, we've got to teach ourselves to rule our own spirit well, to rule it well. Mr. Armstrong wrote this in 1984. He said, just what is true character? Just what is the perfect life? I have divine character, that is, true, righteous, holy character, as number one, coming to the knowledge of the true as opposed to the false values, the right instead of the wrong way. And then number two, making of one's own free will and volition the choice to do the right instead of the wrong. And then three, the exercise of the will in actually doing the right instead of the wrong. See, that takes some self-discipline. That takes some drive. That takes some internal propulsion to make sure you're going in the right direction, to make sure you're following in the steps of Christ. It says character, then, once the true knowledge is acquired and the right decision made, involves self-discipline. The truly educated person is a self-disciplined person. So you take the reverse of that. What does it tell you about a young person who's totally out of control, who's not able to discipline the spirit? Well, it tells you that they haven't been educated. They're ignorant. And they're probably sitting down in lecture halls with a lot of experts, giving them a lot of nonsense, telling them, hey, if you're a little bit discouraged as a 13-year-old girl, maybe it's because you're a boy. It says, what then does this self-discipline involve? Two things. Number one, the self-restraint to resist the lower impulses and pulls in human nature, to restrain the self from desires, impulses, habits, or customs which are contrary to the right way. And then, he says, the self-propulsion or determined initiative to drive the self to do those things which ought to be done. In other words, in true character in action, there is the positive and the negative. You've got to discipline yourself to go in the direction you should and to resist those evil, carnal, selfish impulses. And they're there. They're all over the place. Satan, as Mr. Armstrong said, is just surcharging the air with his attitudes of vanity and lust and envy and strife and bitterness. Self-control. That's a key component to a true and righteous education. Controlling your own spirit well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. That's all that we have time for, unfortunately, on today's show. But we'll see you again tomorrow.